The weekly conversations with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topics, mission of Maitreya, eternal divine path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing the lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's previous lectures, that song, we already have them running 24 hours a day, and we read discourses by Maitreya, God's words continuously. Religious Greek section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Shalom. Welcome to the Mission of Maitreya's conversation room. As usual, we will have this room together to study our teachings and look at the revelation that has come to humanity to bring the kingdom of God on earth. And it is here and it's calling for the elect to come together. We will stay here for an hour if there is no question there in the room. But if there are questions, we will stay as long as necessary to discuss these things in the deepest level together. And if you really study our teaching, you will find that lots of truth has been revealed to humanity. And actually, somebody was talking to me about the Plato and his philosophy, and when being compared to our teaching, it was amazing how similar they were, and how he was also trying to create a perfect society, but of course he intellectually was trying to create an environment for the society. Therefore, he also was trying to create an environment that will bring the perfect society for humanity. But of course, his ideas was man's ideas, and our ideas are God's idea, and our society will be more perfect than the society he was trying to create. And when we compared, we saw so many of his questions also being answered in our teachings, and how more perfect this revelation and teachings are than anything before it. It's just a confirmation again and again that this indeed is perfect as God is. And this perfection now have come to man, and it is the responsibility of every man to take it and realize it and spread it and never give up in trying to reach out to humanity and realizes that their salvation is based on the word of God, which has come to humanity to this point, and now the perfection of the revelation is here. Therefore, there are much to discuss, to realize, to go deeper in the teaching and find out how all the answers are given, even the answers that the great prophets, the great philosophers and thinkers could not fathom. Now it is revealed clearly and can be understood easily. So we need seekers that they really want to study, to search, not come here and still their egos are intact and do not want to let the ego go. And then that's not going to work, because we are trying to create a society of free of ego. At least the leaders are free of ego, and they can connect to God directly, and therefore they can bring the spirit of God to man. They they realize and connect themselves to the Spirit of God first, and then they let that Spirit come through them to those who they touch, they lead, and they guide to a higher level. That is indeed fulfills the prophecy that when Christ come, many will become kings and leaders and great revealers of the truth to humanity. And that is the kind of the people, of course, we are calling to come forward to see this revelation, to see this truth, and they can themselves become a channel for the energy of this mission, and therefore they can touch many. And always remember that they are not the doer, they are just here to connect them to the mission and to God, as I am here to connect you to God and teach you and guide you to overcome the ego and subconscious mind and anything that has a form, is visible, it has a name, and it's not eternal, it's not the ultimate form of God, and therefore you will be disappointed. And if you become attached to anything that has the attribute of the manifestation, here we teach you how to connect to God directly while you are under the umbrella of the mission and its teachings, and how you can become an elect, chosen by God, those who have been talked about in all the scriptures as the chosen people, my people, the peculiar people, the people that they put God first. This is the salvation of man, to detach themselves from this relative truth, which is the creation. Relative truth never will bring you the ultimate happiness, no matter how you intellectually try to explain it, it's not explainable. And that was another discussion that this person was telling me, that, you know, he cannot find the truth, no matter what assumption he puts forward. He can change that assumption to something new, and he can create a new reality based on this new assumption, and there is never a satisfactory answer to any approach he takes to find the facts and truth. Well, as usual, the answer was that you are trying to explain the unexplainable. You are trying to find the reality by intellectual endeavor and trying to find the ultimate reality in this relative manifestation. It's never going to happen. It's never going to reach the bottom of this reality. The reality is intuition. The reality is an experience. It's not an explanation. Again and again, it is not that we can explain this thing intellectually and then come to the conclusion of the truth. The only way probably you can do that is to read our teachings and see how God said he's going to do things, and he has done them, and therefore, at least intellectually, you say, yeah, God exists. Therefore, by realizing this, of course, then you can meditate, you can try to reach that experience directly with him. If you have, of course, that experience directly with him, you don't have to intellectually explain anymore, because that certainty in you will guide you toward that unification and doing God's will. Therefore, by understanding this reality and our teaching, little by little, you will have a good grip of the truths of life, and you detach yourself from any attachments or things that takes you from God and bound you to man. And you find also the people with the same and similar understanding. Therefore, you can have a great relationship, deep relationship with them without being attached to them. So you become co-workers, a traveler, a wonderful dancers together in the cosmic march toward the unification of all the unit consciousness to God's consciousness and be one. Therefore, the goal of the life is to become divine. The goal of the life is not to become attached to this world or do anything that is not divine and take us away from that divinity which is a part of us always. And this teaching, of course, teaches the humanity how to bring the kingdom of God on earth. And it unifies all religions of the world. And it teaches that this all revelation before it are just a part of a greater truth. Therefore, every religion on earth only have 1/7 of the truth, not the whole truth. And of course, those who want to know the whole truth, they will realize that God has indeed sent all this revelation to man, and now we can see that there is no separation, there is only one God. He has been guiding humanity to this point, and now he tells them how to become divine, how to create commerce of light, how to know who is the first in the life, who is second, who is third, who is fourth, who are the rest of the humanity, how we can create the kingdom of heaven on earth, and how can we bring the unity of humanity and create the environment that God has promised humanity for the last 12,000 years. And of course, humanity will go through a period of purification and realization, little by little, that they are not separated. Their dogmas and their teachings and their realization come from a higher level, and therefore they can come together and realize that they should put their dogmas and their understanding away and realize God's understanding in a greater degree. And therefore, we can see that humanity have a long way to go yet, but that's okay. God has given humanity and our teaching to those who are patient. They are here to, little by little, like a drips of the water, create a dent in the thickness of the human ego, and eventually we realize that they have no choice but to come to man and teach them these teachings. There is a question from the reason Jesus saves. Is Maitreya title the same as saying he is Messiah, Buddha, Baba, Christ? Again, the answer to that question that has been answered many times in this room and in other lectures, that is what you have to prove it to yourself. All the proofs and evidence that you need to do that has been given in our website. The book with the seven seal is open. The seven seal is revealed. The prophecies all are fulfilled. The time of the tribulation and end is here. And indeed, there are all the signs that you need to prove yourself if this teaching is from God and fulfills the prophecies of coming of the last revelation to humanity, is indeed here. Therefore, you have now an opportunity to study this thing and realize if this is indeed the fulfillment of the expectation of the Christian, of Jews, of Buddhists, of Hindus, of Muslim, of Baha'is, and every other religion on earth, and how they are unified. There is only one God. There is not many gods, and all these revelations have come through his spirit to humanity, and therefore we can now see the reality of this revelation as he promised to his prophets, as he promised to his children, and that eventually at the end time he will reveal his plan to man, and that plan is now here. Therefore, we just can give you the evidence, we can just give you the truth that has been revealed to us, to humanity, but it is really you who should go and study and prove it to yourself if it is true or not. Of course, when you prove it to yourself, it is your religion now, it is your truth, and it is now you who become another channel for God to spread this to other men and prove it to them what you proved it to yourself. And of course, when you prove that to yourself and them, you connect them to the mission, to God, not to yourself, but you try to create an environment that there is a unity, a center that can unify all humanity together. And with that, of course, means that you have to accept the Maitreya as the heart of the hierarchy, the nucleus, the center that can unify all together as one. And of course, if you are an elect, you come closer to the mission and you learn and we learn together how to work with each other and create an environment that we have a rapport with one another, and we can work closer to create the 12 elders or 24 elders, depends what how we're going to do that, and eventually, of course, create the facilitating body to bring the kingdom of God on earth. So the first step is you prove it to yourself. That's the first step. After you proved it to yourself, this is indeed the prophecy fulfilled, the revelation and the word of God has come to man. Then it is your religion, it's your understanding that indeed God has said he has done, he's going to do all these things, and he has done them. Therefore, God exists. Contrary to many beliefs that God doesn't exist, or he forgot us, or he left us alone, or he's not there anymore, he and many things, and we can do whatever we want to and not to follow, you know, higher self, they will realize indeed that is not correct. God still is in charge, and but he has already said at the end time he there will be a lot of people that their faith will wax cold, and they will follow false prophets and teachers and wrong religions, dead religions that they still keep, you know, lying in the streets, and they will not let go of the dead religions full of dogmas to come to the light of God that now has returned to man. And of course, anytime a prophet comes and bring a new revelation, it is a leap of consciousness. Eventually, especially the last one, which unifies everybody, and it is for the whole humanity. To this time, the revelation have been for a specific people, just like Hinduism and mystical path was mostly for Far East. Judaism or Old Testament was for Hebrews. The New Testament was the last tribe of Israel. The Islam was for Arabs and the related group. You know, Baha'i was for expansion of the mind, and mostly for to come to the West and awaken us to that realization. And Ananda Marga for just to explain what an elect is. And of course, this revelation is now is for all of them. This is the only revelation have come to humanity for the whole earth. And anytime a revelation come for a people, which now is for the whole earth, those people, of course, call to purification, to expansion, to realization of God, and coming together and realizing God's revelation. Of course, if they don't do it, if they resist it, and they hesitate, and they take it lightly, you know, of course, they will not be invited to the marriage ceremony, which is reaching pure consciousness and becoming one with God. And therefore, coming of a revelation and a prophet to a group or humanity, it is not an event that anybody can take lightly. It is not something that we can say, oh, we can do it some other time or later. It is now. The time is now to realize this thing, and realizing indeed the revelation of God have come to man again, and therefore now we are obligated to accept it, to see it, to realize it, to understand it, to come here and discuss it with us, and let us come to understanding that God indeed has sent the revelation to humanity. The reason Savior has a question, let us see what is his question. Go ahead. The reason your hand is up, if you have a question, go ahead, take the mic.
Yes, Guru. How many seven?
Okay, that was Carl, our friend that is come here all the time and likes to disturb our room, and and we hope that he will learn his lesson and will not try to do this, and we pray for him that he indeed realizes that that is not a kosher thing to do. And but that is okay. We pray for him and we wish him good luck and health and happiness and better understanding. And actually, through history, those who have opposed the prophets at the end become the one of the best disciples there are, and they help greatly to understand God. And now let's see what the healing guru has to say. Go ahead, healing guru.
Thank you very much. Namaste. Can you hear me okay? Am I coming in okay? Okay, thank you. I went to your website, Maitreya, and I looked at the contents. Some of your prophecy is based on the Vedas, the interpretation of the Kali Yuga, its beginning and its end, and certain assumptions are made as to the proper timing of the age of Kali and its ending. And I do not find that this is what I have learned in terms of the Kali Yuga, so I'm going to simply tell you what I know.
Sure.
And ask you to comment.
Mm-hmm.
According to the different yugas, the Kali Yuga began approximately 5,000 years ago when Lord Krishna left the planet. And so now we are in the golden age of the Kali Yuga, which is the last 432,000 years. So at the end of the Kali Yuga, there is Kalki coming to destroy the impious. So you... My question is, you made some references on your website in regards to the Kali Yuga that I find to be incorrect. Could you please explain in more detail where your information is coming from?
Sure, Healing Guru. The explanation of end of the Kali and all those things are different in different religions and different groups, just like coming of the Maitreya Buddha. Some people say it's going to be 5,000 years after Buddha left. Some people say it's going to be 30 years. Some people say, no, it's 750,000 years. And therefore, each group think differently of coming of different manifestations. And that is also true about the Kalki avatar and the end of the Kali Yoga. And therefore, there are a lot of ideas and opinions of what and when this thing is going to happen. Second, those prophecies, I didn't write them. There was written with the people who had a greater study about these periods, and they have come to understand the way it's been written in the website. But my answer to that question is that all the prophecies in all the religions in the world have been talking about one revelation will come at the end time and will unify all religions of the world. And all these prophecies are from the same, for the same revelation and the same manifestation. And that, of course, is in the Bible, it's in Quran, it is in other religions that has been completely revealed to humanity at this time. And for example, in the Buddhist prophecies, indeed it was prophesied that Maitreya will come 5,000 years after Buddha, but then because of some circumstances, it changed with 2,500 years. The flood of Nova, or the beginning of the new era, happened around 2,000 years ago, and the period of Kalki, or dark period, usually also lasts 12,000 years. So from the point of the view of the Bible, also that period has changed, and this is the time that this will manifest. And of course, according to what the people who wrote those explanation in the prophecy in the website, now also is the end of the Kalki avatar. And there are many Hindus believe that, and they are waiting for Kalki avatar to manifest itself. Of course, also they believe that there's going to be a three consequence reincarnation of Kalki avatar, and therefore at the third time he will eventually establish the truth and destroy the falsity and all that. So we can see all this evidence have to be compared not only with the explanation or belief of a one group or one person's understanding, but with the whole revelation and understanding of all religion. And when you do that, of course, you come to the same conclusion after, as the website has come. This is indeed the end time of all the prophecies in all religions of the world. And the prophecy has been only for, all those prophecies has been for one manifestation that brings the unity of all religions together and reveals the seven seals, books sealed with the seven seal, bring the truth back to humanity, and bring kingdom of God on earth. But Krishna and his manifestation as the beginning of the Kali Yoga, even he himself says, whenever there is impurity on humanity and religions, and they fall from the understanding the deeper truth of the spirit, my spirit will rise on earth. Therefore, he doesn't give any time. So his spirit can rise any time that the morality is low and humanity has fallen. And we can see that he is truth, because Buddha came, Muhammad came, many prophets came to humanity even after Krishna, and they brought great truth and realization to humanity. Therefore, you have to go beyond Krishna, beyond Hinduism, and study our teaching and see how God sent many other revelations to us, many other revealers after Krishna, and Krishna, of course, can rise anytime he wants. And therefore, we can see you have to expand yourself. That's what another teaching, our teaching does, it expands yourself, expand the person. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hopefully, my question to you will be acceptable and I won't be cut off here. But I'm interested in discussing with you the validity of your point, which is what we accept as authority for understanding what is God. Thank you, reminder. Krishna also, since you referred to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he also says in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the compiler of the Veda, he's the knower of the Veda, and he's the goal of the Veda. And within the Vedas, there is a description of all of the different incarnations of God, even before they come, as you well know, including Kalki, who is supposed to come toward the end of the Kali Yuga. Krishna's coming 5,000 years ago was predicted, and different incarnations of Krishna, as you well know, came Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga, Treta Yuga, Satya Yuga. Each Yuga, one incarnation of Krishna is coming. So everything is explained if we accept the Vedas as our authority, then these different incarnations are clearly explained, the different yuga avatars. The problem is in the Kali Yuga that we're living in. In fact, as you know, Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and confusion. People have no clear conception of authority and where to turn to. And I appreciate your efforts to bring some clarity to the problems that we have in diverse religious beliefs nowadays. I think, however, people would be greatly benefited, in addition, if they were taught the principles of Sanatan Dhan, and had Veda as a reference point, there would be a lot more clarification as to what is God and God's purpose in terms of our journey, our individuality, and what our individual purpose is in relation to God.
Sure, Healing Guru. Not only Krishna revealed the Vedas, he also revealed the Old Testament. He revealed the New Testament. He revealed the Quran. And if you study our teaching, it clearly explains it is the same spirit that has revealed all the revelation to humanity, and therefore all the revelations and the books that have come to man are a reference point to understanding God and his purpose. Just accepting Vedas as only authority, it's just accepting Quran as only authority, just accepting Bible, New Testament, or Old Testament as only authority, and therefore separation and destruction that we saw, and the confusion of Kali Yoga that you talk about, but you still preach the separative ideas of accepting only one revealer or revelation of God. Therefore, Krishna's spirit is the same as the spirit came through Abraham, came through Moses, came through Christ, came through Muhammad, came through Bab, and came through Baba, and therefore they are saying the same thing. They are the point of reference, and that is why you have to expand your view of and see how these teachings explain what you already know, and it expands of what you believe, and it releases you from believing on a set of dogma, which is Krishna consciousness or Krishna beliefs have brought to you. And with this revelation, of course, the confusion is no more, And humanity can clearly see that, yes, indeed, the same spirit sent to man, and now they are all revealing all the truth to humanity, and you can expand yourself and be one. Please stay short in your questions and go get to the point, and let us discuss the mission instead of talking about other thing, and see how these teachings include, you know, Vedas and Hinduism, but it also includes the Old Testament, New Testament, Quran and Bayan and other revelation of God, and why this is more perfect and correct than hanging into one revelation or one revealer. Go ahead.
Okay, just like when we go to college, or if we want to learn mathematics, not all math is equal. There's basic math and there is more advanced math. Calculus is clearly more advanced than basic math. Similarly, there are different revelations of God, but they're not all equal. God does not always speak the full truth at every incarnation. It depends on what the population can hear and what they can understand. The Vedas were the original literatures written thousands and thousands of years ago before any other literature. And it does contain the fullness of who Krishna is or what is God. So my point is simply this, that it's hard to equate, if you want to understand the essence or the commonality between Bible, Quran, and Veda, that's fine. The problem is, in the age of Kali, there is not a good, clear conception of God. God becomes faceless, amorphous, he becomes formless. And this is, unfortunately, to me, to my understanding, a great influence of Shankaracharya, in India, where he taught so much about the oneness of spirit, but did not bring in the personality of Godhead, which is what Lord Chaitanya did 500 years ago. So I'll keep my speaking brief, but I do find it important, and I would appreciate if you could address the difference between impersonalism and personalism in your discussion with your disciples here today. Thank you.
Yeah, well, again, you know, if you study our teaching, you will realize that Vedas have come after the flood of Noah, and eventually it came by Aryan race and mixed with the African belief that the southern Indian, the whole Indian continent came from Africa, and their belief were based on the African belief, and Shiva was a black man, and which eventually married an Aryan woman, and they mixed the belief of Aryans with the black African, which were in India, and came up with Vedas. And and eventually, of course, the Aryan race was split to two, and one of them came in the north of Iran, and then split to south and to Iraq. And eventually, the Abraham came from the same race and brought the Old Testament, and then Christ came from the same race as a child of King David, and you can see it's almost the same people brought this revelation of God, and also the same spirit. Therefore, Vedas are influenced many religion, and I agree with you. If you want to understand any religion on earth, you have to understand mystical path, and the base of the mystical path is Vedas and Hindu religion, but it doesn't reveal the whole truth. Now you're talking about the personal God and impersonal God. Of course, we teach the same thing, that God is impersonal, absolutely formless, invisible, nameless, eternal, and in that state unifies, but also he has had to come to manifestation in order to bring the revelation to man, and his spirit manifests the scriptures and send prophets so they can reveal that to humanity, and therefore he has form. But because he has to come in the form of many prophets and messiahs and gurus and revealers, as Krishna, as Shiva, as Muhammad, as Moses, Abraham, Isaac, you know, and on, that will create separation. And therefore, each person will hang into, just like you mentioned a couple of gurus in India, you follow those gurus, and each guru in India, of course, has their own followers, and there is separation greatly exists in Hindu religion because of that manifestations. Therefore, we guide the people in the mission to believe in formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal, and never become attached to the body of the guru, of the prophet, of the messiah, and therefore their salvation is to go to the unmanifested, formless, invisible, nameless, eternal, which we call in fine, F-I-N-E, and therefore they all can relate to one another, not saying, I am the follower of this guru, I am the follower of this religion. Do not grab the mic, please, healing guru. And therefore, you that create that separation that exists on earth. And therefore, we are teaching based on the impersonal God is more unifying than gurus and revealers that many people are attached to. And eventually, of course, the follower of that guru, that messiah, that prophet, put themselves in the place of the prophet, and they become the God of the disciples or the people on earth, and they further separate and split the teachings and the original revelation to many branches and understanding and dogmas. And therefore, the only way to unify the whole humanity, to teach them not to get attached to any of these teachers, any of these revealers, any of these prophets, all these gurus, and all those people who say, I know the truth, I know the truth, come to me, come to me. And then they attach them to themselves, and they become an obstacle in the way of humanity to go to God directly. Therefore, we do oppose any teacher or any person who teaches people to become to them and connect humanity to themselves, and they become a people in the way of God. Therefore, this teaching again is superior in understanding how to unify humanity together by teaching them, as that book says, if you saw the Buddha, kill him. Means, you know, if you are attached to Buddha, then you are, the Buddha is on the way, in the way. So you can see Hinduism has a lot to learn from these teachings. Christian movements, Krishna movement have a lot to learn from these teachings, and all the humanity have a lot to learn from this teaching and release themselves to only God, which unifies, formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. I have a couple of questions here in the text. Let me go through them to see. Okay. Is he okay? Yeah. Escalogido.com. Do you believe that the cycle, the verb, hello? Don't send any more PM. The window is going up too fast. I can see everything. Okay, well, apparently the person who asked the question is not in the room. And if the person who asked the question is not in the room, usually we do not answer them. And therefore, that question will not be answered. Okay, that was an accident. Okay, all right, great. Okay, well, there's no question. I just got some PMs about that grabbing the mic was accident and all that. So, okay, healing guru, go ahead, but stay brief, please. Go ahead.
The mission or the comment that you made, which is God is formless, invisible, nameless, the platform of your ashram or your philosophy here, that platform is As I mentioned earlier, that was the platform that Shankaracharya spoke on. The problem is that as much as we'd like to unify the world on this idea that God is formless and visible, no one has been able to perceive a formless and visible God. The other problem is that when we begin to conceive of God as formless or invisible and nameless, then we begin to get into this impersonal idea that God is an ocean and we are drops of the ocean and our business is to become God. It becomes a very difficult task to separate ourselves from God in every respect. This is, you know, as you're familiar with, what we call impersonalism or Mayavadism. My only point is, I believe that although you have identified the difficulties with the separations of the religious beliefs based on body, I believe that if we can emphasize the transcendental existence of a Supreme Lord, someone who has a spiritual form, we can begin to develop the proper relationship between the individual soul and the supreme soul. As long as we try to unify everybody on the basis of impersonalism, that God is formless, in order to overcome this material division that you're discussing, I believe that will fail. As difficult a task as it is, we must emphasize the fullness of God. This will bring, I believe, the proper revelation to the hearts of all beings. I will give the mic back to you.
Well, indeed, we do have the personal manifestation of God, and that's called Messiah. That is called the Anointed One. That's called He who has fulfilled the prophecies, who has brought the revelation of God to man, and that person or personality become the heart of the belief of the believers, and therefore that brings the unity, and they can relate to that heart as a manifestation of God, and therefore it will unify them. But even He will direct them to go to the unmanifested God, and therefore free them from these separative ideas that has separated humanity at this time. Of course, another point is that it has been prophesied to come. God said His kingdom will come, the unity will come to humanity. Of course, you will not find that in Krishna consciousness or Hindu religion. You will find it in Bible. The Bible is the base that have revealed all the truth and unification that will come at the end time. If you read the Revelation that we have in our website called Revelation of the Revelation, it clearly states that eventually His kingdom will come and the Messiah will be the focal point or focus of those who will be unified together. Therefore, we are not completely directing to an invisible, formless, nameless God, but also to a visible manifestation that reveals the revelation of God to you. Therefore, you have some point of reference or point of gathering, rallying together to become one. Therefore, your idea is again based on an idea of opinion of your understanding, but if you again read our teaching, understand the God revelation and how He said this will come about, you will expand yourself to see that indeed this is more perfect than anything before it. And also the belief that God is ocean and we are a drop and we can drop into it is been rejected in this teaching, and it's been said that God said, I will spew you out of my mouth. It means even when you fall into the ocean, you will not stay there, and God will send you back to get on with the work, and you will not go farther in your progress. Therefore, all those concerns that you have has been answered in this teaching again, and it reveals that this is how you can manifest the greater truth. No. So please stay on the topic, on the mission, and the related question on that. Please, go ahead.
Okay, so you mentioned that the only time, but you mentioned the form is only in relation to the manifestations of the gurus or the Buddha, or I guess you mean Krishna as well. That's when form of the truth is revealed to people. So, but in your point that you just made, the formlessness, namelessness of God, the absolute truth, is superior to the form of God or his manifestations of his absolute truth. And this is not a new discussion. I think this is an old discussion, which is really superior. And there's a reason for this concept. Is the absolute truth, is the personal form of the absolute truth superior to the formlessness of the absolute truth, or vice versa? And I think this is the real topic, because if the absolute truth indeed has a transcendental form, or a formfulness is superior, if form manifests non-form, then we should concern ourselves with spiritual form in our worship. If non-form is the absolute truth, then we have to look at the ultimate in that sense, that we are all formless, nameless, that the absolute has no qualities. Then we have to look at it from that point of view. So my question to you, sir, is could you please clearly tell me, in your opinion, is form, the absolute truth, is form of the absolute truth inferior or superior to formlessness?
There is not such a thing as inferior and superior, anything in this universe. The whole thing is God. Therefore, the whole idea of inferiority and superiority come from intellect and ego and separate things as superior or inferior. There is truth, there is not truth. That is the only separation you can make between things. And therefore, the whole idea of anything being superior is an ego manifestation, not the ultimate truth. Now, is the manifested of the truth in the form is superior, or the formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal is superior? As you said, there is not such a thing. The form in the absolute manifestation is a breach. It has come to manifestation to take you to formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. And just like you are in one shore, one part of the land, and there is a river, which is Maya and destruction, and the other part is the heaven or God, and you want to go over it, but you can't, and the manifestation come as the bridge to guide you to go to the other side. Now, if you stay on the bridge, and the bridge is so beautiful and wonderfully made, and you start being fascinated with this bridge, and start looking at the architect and beauty and wonder of it, and you never go over the bridge to the other side, the bridge become obstacle in your path. Therefore, the bridge is necessary. The bridge is needed to go over to the other side. But if you become attached to the manifestation of the bridge and forget to go over it to the other side, then you have to forget about the bridge and find a bridge that takes you to the other side. And that's what exactly happens to a lot of gurus and manifestation and prophets and messiahs who have come to take humanity to the other side, and humanity becomes so attached to this manifestation or bridge that they forget to go to the other side. So they become an obstacle in their way. And of course, beside that, all the revelation to this point for last 12,000 years, they are not perfect. None of them have the whole truth. Not even Hinduism and the Vedas have all the truth, because as we say, eventually it end up to a escapism of the followers, and a lot of people left society, went to the mountain, become naked, and they said this world is illusion. This world is not an illusion, it's a relative truth. Therefore, you never can find the happiness in this manifested world, but you can find it in the spirit, which is the essence of the universe and permanent. And therefore, our teaching is absolutely against escapism. You have to get engaged in creation of the communities of life. Not only we do preach meditation, we do preach awakening of our spiritual forces, but the next step is to engage in the society, to get engaged with the community, to get engaged in creation of communities of life based on the eternal divine path. Therefore, it never can become escapism as Hinduism have become. And then you have to sacrifice and in creation of communities. Therefore, ego be dissolved in sacrifice, in creation of the communities of life. Then surrender and submit to the will of God for you in the umbrella of the teaching, and therefore your spirit and God's spirit become one, and then become universalist, realize God is everything, shatter all the narrowness of the mind, and get rid of superiority and inferiority complexes that has been running human existence for thousands of years. There is no superior, there is no inferior. The only thing is a person in a higher consciousness, the person in the lower consciousness, the person more godly and more follower of the truth, and the person who is in delusion and is not following the truth. But none of them superior or inferior. The only difference is one is progressed more, has more responsibility to guide others to go to the higher consciousness. Some have not have to be guided. That's all there is into it, really. Such a people who follow this five step, awaken the spiritual forces, direct their energy to our creation of the communities of light, sacrifice, surrender and submit to God and become universalists, are called the elects, those who have in all religion have been discussed as my elect and my people and Hebrews and all that. Therefore, you have to, again, you know, I can see you haven't been really in our website, or at least you have not really read our teaching in a depth that it needs to be explored, which is okay, but that is one of the rule of this room, that we encourage everybody to go to our website first, study our teaching, see how all these questions and confusion have been answered, and now a pure revelation that God's humanity in creation of the communities of light and bringing the kingdom of God and a spirit to earth is revealed. And it is not that it is superior to other religion, but other religion are just a part of this greater truth. And if they realize that, of course, they can expand themselves and realize indeed this is the revelation that has been prophesied to come and answer all their questions. Therefore, the unmanifested, formless, invisible, nameless God is the goal. That is where everybody has to go. The manifested form of God comes as the revealer, as the teacher, as the person who comes as the Messiah or prophet, with the clear prophecies and signs of his coming. And that person is the manifestation of God in the manifested world. If everybody on earth focus on that individual, therefore their unity will be assured. But if they focus on many other people, or those who come to him, they themselves try to become a center and separate themselves from the one focus that unifies. Just like Adam, okay? There's only one center in Adam. If there's two centers, then the Adam become two, three, four, and the split starts in creation. And that should not happen, because if you that's what we teach and emphasize. Those people that are in the mission and trying to spread it, they give lecture or teach out there, emphasize, just bring their the focus are those who listen to you, to the mission, to Maitreya, to the center, and then we can unify. Otherwise, you will become a center yourself, and you will split and create the whole earth that we have now at this time. So therefore, we encourage you to go to our website in a greater degree and understand these teachings, and you will see all your questions are answered clearly. Go ahead, Healing Guru.
Thank you, Maitreya. what you're espousing today is nothing new, unfortunately. The idea of everyone becoming unified under a nameless, formless God, and that everyone's goal is to return to a nameless, formless, absolute truth, is not a new revelation. This has been going on and being heard time and time again. I don't see a unification taking place under that banner, because the fact is, and I will speak in certain terms that you're familiar with, if we teach people that they are Brahman, or that they are superior or spiritual energy, and that if we do not include the supreme ashraya or shelter for the individual soul, which is God himself, who is a person, then we will not be able to fulfill our own personal mission or the mission of humanity, which is to revel and enjoy and be happy in the association of God, who is superior to us in all sense. God is not nameless and formless. As long as we continue to believe that, we cannot unify the human population, because we cannot become one with God, as you pointed out earlier. We cannot take that drop of water and be totally homogeneous with the ocean. You yourself said that. So there is difference between the individual soul and the supreme soul. And we have to find out more about the supreme soul. It's a two-step process. When we first understand the supreme soul, then we can also understand the individual soul. You are suggesting that we understand the individual soul by accepting that we're all one. We're all nameless and formless. That's the common platform and the revelation that you're describing. And I am pointing out that if we can understand the personality of Godhead, then we can all understand ourselves, and humanity can become unified. There's a difference between your platform of speaking and suggestion for unification and mine. So I will give the mic back to you, sir.
The very saying that this is nothing new in this revelation shows absolutely you know nothing about this revelation, and you do not understand what these teachings are, and you haven't probably read and studied this teaching in a greater degree. We have heard that before. People come and say, this is nothing new in this revelation. And all of the people who are in this mission clearly understand there is difference in this revelation, and it is the most unique revelation for last 2,000 years on earth. And that absolutely is incorrect, and you have to really study the teaching and see the differences. Now, about your point of, you know, unmanifested, formless and invisible will not create unity. Actually, that is the only thing will create unity, and any form and more than one form create this unity. And we can see that in the manifested world, anytime any atom or any cell have more than one center, that creates this unity and split it too many different cells. And that's actually what cancer is. Cancer is when a cell go haywire and it creates so many centers that absolutely that organ gonna become unusable. So that is what this organization also should not become, a cancer with many centers, but the focus on one center. Those who raise their hands, of course, have the priority of those who send their question in the text. So if you want to keep your place in the line, you have to raise your hand with your question if you want to be answered, you know, first. Go ahead, Cat Dragon Dreamer.
Thank you so much. I went to the website, and I do have some questions. I think it's a very informative site, and I thank you for posting it out in the room. That was very gracious of you doing. But I do have a small problem with the swastika. I am wondering why it is on there, and what does it represent, actually? And how do you feel about judging other people? Because sometimes it seems like there's so many that judge people for what they say and what they do, such as the healing guru. I understand that, Rupert, but these are just a few questions that I have that I would like answered vocally, please.
Sure, Kath. Swastika. It's the most ancient symbol on earth. It is a symbol of the raising of the Kundalini, and they have been used as the good luck, as positive sign. Actually, the very plus in mathematics comes from swastika, and it has nothing to do with what Hitler used it for. It's still used in Hindus and Buddhists and groups, and they are not considered as evil as it is being propaganded to be believed in the West as an evil sign. And even American Indians, they had the swastika. And if you go to our website, there is a book actually was published with the Smithsonian's in 1920s about the swastika, and so many positive things have been said about it. It was before Hitler, of course, after Hitler came and the propaganda machine created to degrade the sign. Now it is an evil sign in the West, and even you cannot even find the book that has been published with the Smithsonian, and they probably even deny such a book exists, but we have the digitized book that published by them in our website, and you can go and read it to see how widespread that sign is. Therefore, West has to be re-educated and realize that Hitler just used the sign. It's just like many times we explain like a surgeon knife. Surgeon knife by itself doesn't have evil or good thing in it. If you give it to the hand of a surgeon, he can take the tumor out and heal. And if you give it to a hand of a killer, he can slash people's throats and kill them. So is the knife evil or good? Neither. It's just a knife. It's a sharp knife, can be used to heal or to kill. It's the same thing about the swastika. It is just a sign which symbolizes positivity, symbolizes of the raising of the Kundalini, and therefore it is good in that sense. Of course, if you give to the Hitler and he tilt it and make it a manifestation of destruction, you know, then it can create, you know, the suffering for people. Of course, you know, it become evil to people who do not understand the events of the world and how God works. Therefore, it's neither good nor bad. So that is that answer to your question. Okay, your other question is, can you repeat your other question? What was your other question about? Go ahead, repeat your other question. Okay, I guess she left the room. So, Stamman, Starman, go ahead.
With all due respect, he has been red dotted.
Oh, okay, then Adele, go ahead. Adele, go ahead.
Salam, I have a simple question. What is the definition of a heathen? Or what does it mean to be heathen? Thank you.
The definition of heathen means having guru, I mean having, not guru, ego, instead of connecting to the spirit, not wanting to know the truth. Of course, in the old times, heathen were referring to barbarians and the people who believed in not a revelation which came to Jews and Christian. And they call them heathen because they believe that what they have is the truth and what the other people have is not. And therefore, they are heathen and the Christian and Jews weren't. And that's what why when the Christian came to America, in the people, the native people were heathen. The people didn't have any truth as Christ is the Savior and is the only way. Therefore, it was easy for them to do to them as they pleased, and we can see the, of course, the result is the suffering of those who called that name. But in truth of it is the people who do not really know the truth and reality of God, and therefore they cannot understand what the truth is. That's what really heathen means. And what keeps us from the truth? Ego keeps us from the truth, and we have the umbrella of ego over our head. Therefore, we do not receive the truth of higher level. Now we don't have any really hidden. The only people we have is those who overcome their ego and connect to God, or they don't. Therefore, in this time, there is no hidden really left on earth. Most of them have a religion that is included in the eternal divine path, and those who are, have the mystical path, they have to understand the rest of the teaching. If they are Jews, they have to realize that, you know, indeed Christ came as the Messiah, and they should forgo their understanding. If they're Christian, they have to realize indeed God promised both to Abram and Abraham a prophet will come from both children, and Prophet Muhammad also prophesied to come. If those who are Muslim, they have to realize this indeed Bab was their Mahdi that came and brought the universalism, and of course all of them have to become a Sadvipra or Paravipra and eventually create the kingdom of God on earth. Therefore, we can see there is no hidden really there. The only hidden is the people who still keep their ego and they're not letting the Spirit of God come to them. Okay, I hope that answers your question. If I have follow-up, of course, you can go ahead and follow the question. Go ahead, Kat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much. I am of Cherokee descent, and I was wondering what tribe did the Swastika, which tribe used it? I am very intrigued and would like to know more. If you have any more informative sites, I would love to have them. I also have a small question of people who claim to be like, I can't even think of the word, mystics, like druids and Wiccans and things like that, pagans in a sense, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I have some questions about that, like, you know, are they allowed or whatever, you know, or how does that go? Okay, reminder, where is it?
Okay, well, the Zunis and the people in Southwest, they had the swastika. Actually, I don't know if there is there was a hotel in a city called Mountain Air in New Mexico, and they still have the swastika on their walls. I think they have the picture in a website of that hotel. The other people, other tribes also in Arizona, they actually have the prophecy based on the swastika that they have, and you can get in touch with them, the Navajos, and they also had the swastika in their culture. There is a bank I've heard in north of New Mexico that they have a hall, and there is a fireplace, and there is a big swastika on it. There is a website called Friends of Swastika. If you search for that, there is a gentleman in Canada who has a tattoo all over his body of swastika, and he has a great website of explaining why swastika is not what Hitler brought, and a lot of people believe what it is. So you can go to his website, probably that can help you. Just put the word swastika in the search engine in the internet, and you're gonna come up with tons of information about swastika. And that, of course, our website also, as I said, there is a book there, it's published with the Smithsonian, and it explained why it was a positive sign before the World War, the coming of the Hitler and all that. So you have a lot of information there that can guide you to see the truth. And indeed, every culture actually had the swastika in them. And now, of course, we have to go back and re-educate ourselves about it. So you can say that. Please ask your question one by one, because I get to explaining this thing and questions that you had. It's gonna just go away. I think you had other questions too. If you want to raise your hand again and tell me, it's fine. We can answer you. Go ahead. Healing Guru.
Anyhow, I wanted to thank you for allowing me to speak, and I appreciate your viewpoints, and I do plan on coming back again in the future. I think we have a common ground. My goal also is to unify humanity, and if you choose to unify humanity on the basis that we're all spirit soul, then humanity can be unified. There can be a lot better understanding between people if they understand that they're not the body, but actually spirit soul. So there is great unification there. As we see presently, everyone is in the bodily concept, and they're fighting over whose land, and this is mine, this is yours. And I can see your mission is to unify people by bringing them to the point of understanding that they're not the body, but the spirit soul.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that. We feel that there's another step involved, which is to teach people not only are they not the body, but also that they are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and that they should worship God for the fulfillment of their heart, the complete fulfillment of their heart. But the first step is to understand that they're not the body. Sanatan Dharma, the eternal religion of man, that I'm not the body, but I'm spirit soul, and that I am part and parcel of God. So again, thank you very much for letting me speak, and best of wishes to you and your mission, and I will see you again.
Sure, Healing Guru, we do not disagree with you. We absolutely agree with you. What you just said is the base and the essence of our teachings, that you are not your body. You are an essence that which is one with God, and you have to consider them that. But at the same time, you have to create the communities of light and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Therefore, the march march toward becoming pure consciousness and unity with God will accelerate it. You are welcome to come back and discuss with me these things. And most of the people that are called for this mission, they have already know most of the teaching, but this brings a greater unity and understanding to them. I hope you go to our website again and study our teaching and say we are not disagreeing with you at all, but we are trying to expand to see this revelation is the one that has been prophesied to come, and you will benefit greatly by understanding our teaching. I hope you come back. And let's go to some of the questions in the text. Let me see if I can find them here. Okay, Sarek is asking, Salum Maitreya, I am expecting a baby in December. When could I request a spiritual name for him or her? And could you explain the significance and the spiritual name? Sure, anytime, Sarek, just send me an email. I will meditate on the name of your child. Do you know if it is a boy or a girl? You have to know that first and let me know. With the technology these days, of course, that is not a very hard thing to do. You know, you can go and find out what kind of the child it is. It is a girl or a boy. Oh, you want to have a surprise? Then I'll have a surprise name for you after she's been born. Therefore, I have to know if it's a boy or a girl. Therefore, I can give you that name. So we are going to be surprised when she came or he came to the world. And I have chosen two names, one for a girl, one for a boy. And when they came, let me know and I'll send it to you. And you can have a regular name if you want. And we can use the name I sent you as a, you know, his name or only a spiritual name. It's up to you which one you choose to do. And of course, again, this room is to discuss our teaching, and our teaching is in the website. And we have other rooms here, one room called Our Religions Are Unified, and it is open many times during the week. The rest of the rooms, there are 24 hours, and you can go to the All Religions Unified and talk to the people in that room. They will guide you to the other rooms. They will let you know where the website is. They guide you to find the information in the website, and they read our teachings, and hopefully many people will see the truth of this teaching and come together and realize indeed this is the purified religion and truth for humanity for last 12,000 years, and we are now here to see these truths in a greater degree. And there is nothing bad in this universe. It is how it is used, it becomes good or evil, and therefore we should not create a understanding something is evil, something is good, but we see how that thing is being used. And when it is used for evil, it becomes evil. When it is used good for good, it becomes good. Okay. Guess who is asking, hey, Maitreya, you have any powers? Okay, well, the powers are not important. The truths and the teachings are what is important. The message, the miracle of this mission is the message. If you understand the message of this teaching, you will realize it is the most unique. It has never been on earth for last 12,000 years. And that is what we want to concentrate. And that is when we guide you toward that understanding. That's right. The words are more important than the miracles and powers and manifestation or magnetizing water and seeing crosses on the windows, but the truth, and that comes with the word, and that comes through the word of the chosen one to humanity and connects man back to God. Okay, I don't see any other question on the board and or in the room, and therefore I say goodbye to all of you guys, and you be good and be good with God. Go to our website, understand our teaching, and realize indeed it is the most unique. It is something new. It is very new. Indeed, nobody has had it to this point, and now it is here for you to go read, understand, and come and become one with God and become a soldier, a preacher, a teacher who connects everyone to the mission and God and get rid of your ego and become connected directly to the Spirit. Salam, everybody. Hopefully, see you next week.